This message was recorded April 9, 2023. The speaker is David Simpson.
Now please take your Bible and turn to Paul's letter to that congregation in Rome. Romans, and we're going to start in chapter 3. In our last study, we talked about the faith of Jesus Christ. And I ask you to try to see all of this through the eyes of the apostle. So it's not just what I think or what somebody else thinks, but it's what was Paul communicating? What was he saying to those of his day? And I said this to you last week, I'll repeat it again, that the faith is described by great words of doctrine in Paul's writings, like the word propitiated, or the word forgiven, redeemed, reconciled, righteousness imputed, adopted, sanctified, saved, justified, grace, mercy. All of these are describing in a little different way the same truth about the body of truth, the full worth and merit, the weight and virtue, the forensic value of these great truths, God imputed or reckoned or transferred or accounted to his elect people, and he did that in union with the event of the suffering of Jesus Christ unto death. And that's only one place, and that is at and by his bloody and ignominious cross. So I want you to look with me in our text, and I want to read verses 20 through 23, but our thoughts will come from verse 22. So Romans chapter 3, and I'll start here in verse 20. Therefore, so that refers back to what he has established regarding God being just to condemn all men, both Jews and Gentiles. Therefore, by the deeds of law, there is no article there, by the deeds of law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. That's an important phrase, in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. That's what law does for us. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even, so now he's describing, adding something to and describing what he has said about this righteousness without the law. Even the righteousness of God, which is by... And then I'm going to suggest to you that the article, the, should be in front of faith, but I'll come back and talk about it. By the faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So my message falls into two parts. It's sort of like two sermons, but it's not. It's one message, one sermon with two different parts. I want to talk with you about this phrase, by faith or by the faith of Jesus Christ, a little bit more. I talked about it last week, but a little bit more today. And then I want to talk with you about this word believe down here. So you have both of these things in this one verse. When Paul uses this phrase, all that believe, when he talks about all, he's talking about Jews or Gentiles, men or women, slaves or free. That's, if you read what he's saying in all of his letters, that's what he's talking about. Faith and believe come from the same word in the Greek language. They're pronounced different to us. Word faith, word believe sounds a lot different to us. But in the original language, it's really one word. One is a noun and the other is a verb or an action word. Pistis is the word that is a noun. And it's a word that if you looked it up, it means to trust or to be trustworthy, believe. It could also be translated by the word doctrine. And then the word believe, same word, you'll hear the sound of it, pistuo. So you have pistis, that's a noun, pistuo, that is the action word, the verb. And it means convinced, it means to rely upon, it means to have confidence in. So in our one verse, we have both of these. We have pistis, the noun part of it, and pistuo, the verb part of it. So I want you to think with me about this phrase, by faith of Jesus Christ is the way it's translated here. But I suggest to you that the article should be put in front of it. So you'd say, well, David, you're just adding to the scriptures. I read many years ago now one of the Sovereign Grace preachers that said that the scriptures don't have to be interpreted, they just have to be declared. And I've really never heard or read a more ignorant statement than that, to be honest with you. The scriptures have to be interpreted. There is no other way. They must be, and it takes very diligent work. What did Paul say? Study. Study. Study is not easy. Study is hard work. We have all of these books that make up this one book. Different times, different writers, a little bit different perspective on things. A lot of different uses of the human language. The Old Testament in Hebrew, the New Testament in Greek. We read it in English. So to tell me it doesn't have to be interpreted, it's ignorant. I don't know hardly how else to say it. It is just ignorant. So it must be interpreted. It must be understood. So then, why would I put the article in front of the? All right, let me try to give you some ideas about this. I'm going to read something to you. Remember that we're doing this to write a book, so I'm not just bringing a sermon to you. We're trying to put something in print. You say this is complicated. All right? It seems complicated. Well, listen to this Greek syntax book that I read after. It says, and I quote, "Arguably, the most debated group of text involves the expression pistis Christou." Pistis, faith. Christou, Christ. And it's really of Christ. There is no word for of in the Greek language, and yet you see the little two-letter word of over and over again. And it is a genitive, and that is the case of possession. So you don't have to remember that other than to know it tells you something that is possessed, like in this case, the faith of Christ. But the two letters on the end of Christ tell us that this is a genitive, and it is a genitive of possession. And then the syntax book goes on, and it should be translated either faith in Christ, if it is an objective genitive, so it gets more complicated, I know, or the faith or the faithfulness of Jesus Christ, if it is a subjective genitive. But then he used Romans 3:22 for his example, and he includes in an advanced grammar, it says this, "On balance, the grammatical considerations seem to be in favor of the subjective genitive view." If it is a subjective, then it either is the faithfulness of Christ or the faith of Christ. So now just get those two things in your mind. Is it the faithfulness of Christ or is it the faith of Christ? So I want you to consider three or four facts that we find in the text. Here's the first fact that I would give you. This you wouldn't know unless you knew something about syntax or read these crazy books like I do. Faith is an abstract noun, the book tells me, and does not need an article in order to be definite. In other words, it can be definite even though it's not there. So you're certainly within the laws of syntax, grammar, to put the article there. And then if you translate this faith in Christ, there is no preposition for in here. So you are simply making the genitive to be an in rather than of. Sometimes it can be that way, but you're making it be that way. You're forcing it. I'm not the one forcing something on this text. If you make this in Christ, you're making that case for yourself. Then there is a second help that comes to us here, and that, of course, is the context. So if you look back to verse 21, you see the phrase, "by the law and the prophets." By the law and the prophets. So the parallel to that is in verse 22, "by the faith of Jesus Christ." So there is a parallel, and Paul is a great user of these parallels. The third help comes from down in verse 27, where we see something similar. And I showed this to you last week, where in verse 27, he again refers to in the middle of the verse, by what law? The law of works is what he means, the law of works. And then when you come down to verse 28, a man is justified, and then here's your parallel, by the faith without the deed. So you have the parallel of the law of works and the law of faith. So that's the parallel. But then we also have another help on this that comes from another passage, and that's where we read a few moments ago in chapter 2. So turn to Galatians 2. In verse number 16, it reads, in the Authorized or the King James Version, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law. So again, you have that first part of the parallel. But here's the second part of the parallel, by the faith of Jesus Christ. The article is there in the original language. And so you have the two of these that are put together. Now you have a choice to make. Are you going to decide that this is an objective genitive? If it is, then it's translated by faith in Jesus Christ. If you translate it as a subjective genitive, it's the faithfulness of Jesus Christ or the faith of Jesus Christ. Young's literal translation translates it the faith of Jesus Christ, so he translates it as a subjective genitive. But the New American Standard Bible, I use these two because they're popular and pretty good translations. He uses the objective genitive, faith in Jesus Christ. So which is true? Are we just left blowing in the wind to decide if this is to be the faithfulness of Christ or the faith of Christ? Well, this whole text from verse 16, this whole division goes down to the end of chapter 3, so 3:29. So you would want to read and study all of this. So we don't have time to do that. But I want you to look with me down to verse 22 and 23. But the Scriptures hath concluded all under sin that the promise, notice it's a promise, by faith of Jesus Christ, so by the faith of Jesus Christ, might be given to them that believe. Then verse 23, but before faith came, we are kept under the law, shut up unto the faith. All right, in that verse 23, is he talking about the faithfulness of Christ or is he talking about the faith of Christ? So whichever you choose to use in verse 16 of chapter 2 should be used again in this little passage right here, because he's talking about the coming in of, is it the faithfulness of Christ? No, it's not. It's the faith of Christ. He's talking about the coming in of that one settled body of truth. Young's literal translation says, before the coming of the faith, shut up to the faith about to be revealed. I could give you more things, but one of the dictionaries that I read, the best of these, says this should be translated by the body of faith, body of belief, body of doctrine. An exegetical study said good news concerning Jesus Christ. It's not the faithfulness of Christ. It is the faith of Christ. It is that body of truth. The gospel of Christ and the faith of Christ are the same. Now, I want you to leave Galatians, turn a few pages over to Philippians. So you'd have Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. I want you to look in the first chapter, please. Look down at the very end of verse 27. The very end of verse 27 of the first chapter. 1:27. You might want to underline this in your Bible. He talks about striving together for the faith of the gospel. The faith of the gospel. So what he's telling us is that the faith and the gospel are so intertwined that they are one. So if we talk about the gospel, we're talking about the faith. If we talk about the faith, we're talking about the gospel. And we are striving for, we're striving together, Jews and Gentiles, for the faith of the gospel. It's quite a thought when you begin to put these things together. Now, we're talking now about the word believe. So that has to do with the faith. What we've learned is that what we believe is the faith. Some say, just give me Jesus. Well, who is he? What did he accomplish? Who did he accomplish it for? Do we have any information that tells us these things? We do. And that is written in the New Testament. And how we know him and how we know about him is the study of this body of truth. I want you to go back with me to Galatians again, just a few pages back, again in chapter 3. And I'm going to show you what we're going to be talking about in our next study in verse number 6 of chapter 3, this first little phrase, even as Abraham believed God. So now we're going to talk about believing. The question is, what did Abraham believe? That is a major question when you think about Abraham. What did he believe? Well, he believed the gospel that God preached to him. And that becomes the bedrock of studying Abraham. But I just want now to talk with you about what is believing, what is personal, subjective faith. So now we're through with all the hard part, okay? We're through with all the difficult things. I don't have anything more difficult to talk with you about this morning. The rest is going to be simple, and I'm going to take about 10 or 15 minutes and talk with you about what believing actually is. So now I need you to go back with me to the book of Luke. Go back to your left in your Bible, and you'll find the book of Luke. And I want you to look in chapter 7. If you'll look at the end, toward the end of the chapter, there is a woman here who has anointed the feet of Jesus, and she is ridiculed for doing that. But Jesus said to her in verse 48, "Thy sins are forgiven." Then in verse 49, "And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, Who is this that forgives sins also?" So notice it's not what is this that forgives sin, but who is this that forgives sins? But then Jesus said in verse 50, "Thy faith has saved thee. Go in peace." So what Jesus is saying, which is difficult for us to take in, it's not the act of faith, but it is the object of the faith who forgave her. It is the object of her faith who forgave her sins. Who is this who forgave? So it's their way of speaking. And you have to understand, translate this, interpret this as what Jesus meant. Jesus is the one who forgave. So her faith was not in her faith. Her faith was in Jesus Christ. Then I want you to go with me to the next book, the Gospel according to John. So that's the first thing that I would say. Believing is in the Lord. Then if you look in chapter 1, look in verse 12. "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe in his name, which were born." Who is it that believes? That's the question being answered, verse 13. Who is it that believes? Well, it's the ones that were born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. So faith is receiving. The word receive is a word which means to embrace or to take hold of. It's if I take hold of this Bible, then I have accomplished that word, lambano. I've taken it in my hands. But this means to take it with your mind, take it with your affections, with your will, with your whole consciousness, to receive Christ, to receive the truth. You're not justified by faith, but justification is received by faith in the inner man. It's embraced as true. And then this last little phrase, born of God, is further enlarged upon and explained in chapter 3. So go to chapter 3. Jesus is talking to Nicodemus. And in verse 3 of John 3, Jesus said to him, Verily, verily, or truly, truly, John 3:3, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So what he's telling us in verse 3 is that a man in his natural state is spiritually dead. He cannot. He does not have the ability to see. You'll hear preachers say, take your faith and place it in Christ. You don't have any. You have natural belief about a lot of different things, but not spiritual belief to believe the Lord and His gospel. Spiritual death. But then you also see in verse 6 and 7 the necessity of spiritual birth. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again. Flesh can only produce flesh. Spirit is what produces spiritual life. In the very beginning of the Bible, we're told it uses the phrase, after its kind. And so flesh can only produce after its kind, and the Spirit of God produces after His kind. So you have spiritual death, you have the necessity of spiritual birth, and in verse 8, you have the sovereignty of spiritual birth. Spiritual birth is this, compared to the wind. The wind blows where it wills. You hear the sound of it, you can't tell where it comes from or where it goes. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. As you have no control over the wind, you have no control over being spiritually born. God is the one who does that. We don't believe in decisional regeneration. God is the one who gives us spiritual birth. It's a mystery to us. We don't know how or when. We certainly don't know why God does it. God gives us spiritual birth, enables us then to see and understand and embrace the Lord and His gospel. It is by spiritual birth. Now turn with me, this would be the fourth thing about faith, to Romans, the first chapter. Faith is believing in the Lord. Faith is receiving. Faith is by spiritual birth. This would be number four. Faith is revelation. Look in verse 17 of the first chapter. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. From faith to faith. Notice the little word therein, for therein. It is the gospel, the faith that he's talking about. Back in verse 16, for as much as in me is, I'm ready to preach the gospel. For therein, in the gospel, in that one settled body of truth. And then exegetically, you don't have to know what that means, but you have to decide what these words relate to. What do these phrases relate to? So the to faith phrase, from faith to faith, that relates to revealed. That's what it relates to. So it's revealed from faith to faith. And the righteousness of God is what resulted from Christ's obedience unto death. It is the fulfillment of law in life. It is the enduring of the penalties in His death. It is the saving work of God resulting in a right relationship with God. Then you have this faith phrase, revealed. The word revealed means to be uncovered or to be disclosed. From faith. The word from, not really the word from, it's ek, and that's out of. Out of faith. It's revealed out of faith. So what do you think that this righteousness revealed out of? It's out of the same thing as therein. It's out of the gospel. It's out of the settled body of truth. So you can translate it from if you understand that, but it's out of that it's revealed. And then it's to faith. All right, when he says to faith, this is into faith. Out of faith and into faith. So Paul used a little play on words here. So it's out of the objective faith, out of the one settled body of truth, and into personal faith. And this time, when he used the word in, it is there, and it is the word that implies movement, ice, movement. It's the motion toward. It is toward this settled body of truth. And it isn't static. It is continuous. So that it is out of this one settled body of truth that we are constantly moving toward this settled body of truth. We're constantly believing. That's why it is translated in a present tense way. Believing. We're always believing. So we're growing in this believing all the time. The revelation declared here is asserted then through the rest of Romans. Faith is never a condition, though it is most of the time translated that way. So if you make justified by faith, you've made faith to be a condition. But Paul tells us right from the beginning what faith is. It is revelation. Revelation to the heart. Revelation to the mind. Out of the settled body of truth, which is what Abraham believed and what we believe, and then it is into this personal faith that God gives us. So I've given you four things that it is so far. Now I want to give you a fifth thing. Go to Romans 4, verse 21. It's talking about Abraham. I'll talk about this again. We talk about Abraham in a few weeks. But to the very first little phrase, the first four words, and being fully persuaded. All right, that's what faith is. Faith is persuasion. It is persuaded that it is true. This word is a very simple word. It means fully, and to bear is the word is fully bearing the truth that is true. Fully persuaded because God has revealed it. God revealed it. God preached it to him. He believed it and he was persuaded of it. It's not a partial persuasion. In Paul's view, it was being fully persuaded. Now, those who are partially persuaded will eventually go back. They'll eventually apostatize and go back. But Paul is telling these Jews that he's writing to that faith is a full persuasion about Christ and his work. Now, I want you to go with me to Ephesians, where we'll get to this passage. But go with me to Ephesians chapter 2, after Galatians chapter 2, Ephesians. Faith is the gift of God. Verse 8, chapter 2, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that is not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Question is, what does that refer to? It refers to its nearest object, which is faith. And that, faith, and that is not of yourselves. Faith is not something you have, it is the gift of God. If it's the gift of God, it's not an offer. He didn't say the offer of God. It's the gift. If he gives it, you have it. You can't get away from it. It's in your mind, in your heart, you're persuaded about it. You can't get away from it. And he gives it to those that he chose back in chapter 1, verse 3 and 4 and 5, that he chose and predestined from before the foundation of the world. Just thought about that. It's the gift of God. So we say a God-given faith. One more thing. Go with me to Hebrews 11. I'll stop here. Hebrews 11. So go to your right. Hebrews 11, verse number 3. Through or by faith we understand. The word understand is the word for the mind. It means to perceive or to apprehend. So it's to understand. I often talk about understanding it and resting in it. Seeing it through a window God opens to us to see what he has done for us. The justification earned, let me sum it up, and declared in connection with Jesus' obedience to the cross is revealed to faith. It is revealed by faith. It is understood by faith. It is received by faith. And this faith is the free and the sovereign gift of God. But turning faith into a condition for justification is to make it a work, to make it a law. And no flesh is justified by the works of the law.